This is really the best. I got to tell you, if I'm going to have my podcast ruined within hours of it being posted, let it be like this. Let's just keep doing this show where I get to sit down in the studio and rip on about huge trades in Leafland. Yesterday was nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Incredible. Nuts.
One hour of glory.
Pete, welcome back. Aloha.
Aloha. Mahalo, yeah. JD. Mahalo.
Sorry. Is that...
Well, no, aloha Hawaii and then mahalo is thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's what they say on the island. Yeah.
You literally did the White Lotus experience.
I really
Pete
did.
Saw White Lotus, and he never was like, this is a thought experiment on how the rich just... He just was like, we are the rich. We're
we
doing
have to
our,
go.
Yeah, we have to go.
This is us,
we're
I guess.
Doing White Lotus season one. Yeah. You did it. Way to go, Peter. So, yeah, he's back. And, yeah, I said to you, stay in Hawaii.
You
because
did.
The Leafs do cool things when you're gone. Turns out they're just doing cool things regardless.
Yeah.
Things are just happening. Okay, so I'm not going to go through every little detail here. It's essentially the Leafs get Luke Shen and a first-round pick for Rasmus Sandin and Pierre Engvall.
Eric Gustafson's in there as well, too.
He's never going to play.
True. Okay.
He's never going to play. If he's playing, it's because they're resting somebody. For playoff purposes,
okay.
This guy has no shot. Mm-hmm. This guy is never, ever, ever seeing the light of day in a meaningful game for the Leafs unless something disastrous has transpired. Well, let me remind you that the Maple Leafs blue line now maybe doesn't have space for the guy they just acquired in Luke Shen. He might be their seventh defenseman. Morgan Riley, Justin Hall, Jake McCabe, TJ Brody, Mark Giordano, Timothy Liljegren, Luke Shen. Woo! All of a sudden, things are looking good. All of a sudden, you've got a bottom six with some jam, with some personality. Kyle Dubas took this team. And listen, I hate to say a toe-to-so, but I freaking toe-to-so to all of you dorks out there with your charts and your spreadsheets and telling me that Pierre Engvall is this indispensable machine of a player that the Leafs need. Oh, look at him winning his minutes is what you guys love to say. You love to say it. What did the kids say all along? You gotta move Engvall. You gotta move Engvall. You gotta move Engvall. And guess what? They shopped him around to the entire league. All of hockey had a shot at your guy, Pierre Engvall, Mr. Just indispensable third liner. Oh, if only he could play up the lineup and not down it. Turns out he's worth a third round pick. Turns out that's what he's worth to the new chart lord, Lou Lamoriello. All hail the new lord of the nerds, Lou Lamoriello. What a twist of fate. Not only do the Leafs get more jam in the bottom six, not only does the chosen one, Luke Shen, come home, the number one, you know, passion haver, essentially, in Toronto. The narrative, the sun comes home, Luke Shen comes home, and it's at the expense of the guy who is absolutely unequivocally the softest guy on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And what does he fetch back? A third from Lou Lamoriello. And the charts, they were in shambles. The chart guys, they were pushing calculators off the desk. They have no idea what to do. They had years and years sunk into, it's all about Kyle Dubas, and he's the man, and it's, oh, thank God we don't have old Lou Lamoriello with his backward-ass thinking. We've got a general manager who doesn't listen to the smoke, who doesn't believe in things like heart, tenacity, truculence. Oh, thank God he's here to bring us the Engvalls of the world. And then, boom, twist of fate. Twist of fate. I loved it. It was amazing. Full just teardown, essentially, of all the guys that you knew were not going to be the playoff guys. And what does Dubas keep saying? Compete. We got more compete. We got more compete. What do you think that means? Heart. Dubas came back to heart, you nerds. Amazing. It's amazing. The Toronto Maple Leafs are back. The passion is back. Heart is back. Real people who watch hockey their entire lives and who love this sport and who understand it is not played on an Excel spreadsheet are in complete celebration today. This is a win for all of us. This is a win for sports fans. This is a win for this city. This is a win for Kyle Dubas. I am fired up. That's why I didn't want to see you guys this morning. I just rolled into this studio red hot. Just red hot.
You just blew out half my headphones.
How could you not love this? Yeah. How could you not love this? This is what sports are all about. Moments like this, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden you're looking at your phone and it's just blowing up.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just nonstop, just friends, family, whatever. Holy crap, what's happening? What's going on? Dubas has turned over like the entire roster.
Yeah.
Hold on.
It's a whole new team.
So this is the only fear.
Mm.
Too much.
Possibly.
Too much tinkering.
Too much turnover.
Is it possible? Let's not forget that this team was really damn good. And I'm also, you know, having a little fun here. This team was good.
Yeah.
They were in a great place.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best teams in all of hockey. Their stars took a meaningful step.
Yep.
Consistency throughout the lineup a lot more this year. We can all point to duds, but it's an 82-game season. And it's why it was a little tough when, after the first stretch, which I give us all a pass on, and myself especially because I got pissed off about it, mm-hmm. and I love me some me, so I forgive me, you know, for overreacting to the start, even though I don't even really think it was an overreaction. Yeah, you guys agree?
I agree.
Paid by me, guys? Agree?
Yep. Yes,
all right.
JD, agree.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, outside of that, they've had a few blips for sure, but this team has looked different. They have been stellar defensively. The goaltending has been mostly solid. There's been some nights. People, that's the most annoying thing is people that were doing that tweet. What about the goaltending? It's like, for God's sakes, everybody, can we just wait?
Just enjoy
something. Can we just see? What do you want them to do? I love the idea, too, that's like, oh, they get Corposalo. All of a sudden, those people would have been quieted somehow. It's like, no, they've got their lottery tickets in net. That's the position. That's mm-hmm. what they're going to do. Of course, it can be undermined. But holy crap. It is just fun. It's fun to text your friends mm-hmm. and have opinions on the trades. It's fun to be excited about what a new roster looks like. It's fun to do line combinations and wonder where guys are going to play around the lineup. It's fun to think about Kyle Dubas' legacy changing all of a sudden in the city. It's fun to wonder about what shifted with this guy where he went, you know what? Our team is good. We've got all this talent. But I want guys in here who are just gamers. I want mm-hmm. gamers all around. There's something I've always thought, and I think a lot of people feel, that there were too many guys on this team that didn't care enough when they were getting bounced. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just know for a fact that there have been some things that have transpired over the last couple of years, and last year especially, that have made me feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I hate to say I told us so. What did I say? This was the time to trade Rasmus Sandin. They mm-hmm. did it. There was no room for him. He wasn't going to play. He's not this guy with this team. He never had a future. He's a guy who can get a little grumbly, as we saw in the offseason. This one kind of worked out for him. He came into camp. He had to go. Still couldn't stay in the lineup every single night.
Mm-hmm.
He would have wanted out. It would have gotten worse. His price would have dropped. Dubas did the right thing. Moved him at the right time. You can cry and complain and go like, he's not as good as Luke Shen. Again, no, Luke Shen, again, having a career season. Like, an older player. But that's the thing. You swapped him for Rasmus Sandin. He is a more useful seventh defenseman to this team than Rasmus Sandin is. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They got Connor Timmins. Connor Timmins is now the eighth defenseman, which is him and Sandin are essentially the same guy with shots from different sides of the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Timmins a little bit bigger. Maybe he doesn't have as much physicality, but he's also someone that, you know, is able to stay healthy a little bit longer, and they trust him more on the power play than they already do Sandin. So what was Rasmus Sandin's purpose here? Dubas smartly, correctly jumps the market, decides not to let this thing go into his last season, and grabs a first round pick for him. Boom. All of a sudden, Leafs have a first.
Mm-hmm.
No longer is it 7 of 12. Well, it's 7 of 12 still of the top first four rounds. Actually, no, now it's 8 because they moved their own pick, right, for the Luke Shen trade.
Yeah.
So now 8 of 12 of their picks through rounds 1 through 4 the next 3 years are gone, but you add that Boston first back into the mix. Love that move. And again, Luke Shen, if you're going to tell me, hey, JD, what do you want to have in your 7 defensemen? I'd say, let's see, someone who's won Stanley Cups, check. 2, actually, check, check. Somebody with the passion, check. Luke Shen has the passion, okay? Passion haver, 100% mm-hmm. confirmed. There's just no doubt about it. Someone who is not going to be afraid of the market, check. Someone who's going to be able to come in, know their role, check. Good locker room guy, check. Tons of experience, check. Gamer, check. And a body who thumps.
Yeah.
Luke Shen, still league leader in hits, by the way. All of a sudden, this team went out and got Nola Chari,
mm-hmm.
hitter. McCabe. Hitter. Shen, hitter. They want to be more physical. Maybe they're never going to be able to outdo that with the Tampas and the Bruins because they just don't have the same guys at the very top that are like the star players who also provide that, mm-hmm. they just won't be able to have it, but they want more compete. Dubas is, they've rebranded Killer Instinct to compete. That's what they want. Again, heart. It's a different word for heart. Mm-hmm. They want guys that have it.
Sam Lafferty throws the body around too.
And I hate to say I told us so.
Lucien is like the league leader in hits like all time yeah. by defensemen.
Yeah. I know.
And then we got Gio, who's like block shots.
It's don't
like,
say we. You're not on the team.
My bad. The Leafs. I'm excited.
I know. You're not lacing them up tonight yeah. against Pete's the Edmonton Oilers.
How do you know that? Yeah.
So essentially, to wrap this up, because this is my show and no one's going to give me credit for it, I said the Sandin thing. I said the Engvall thing. I said they needed to add another top 4D, and I said that they needed to add two forwards. They added three, so that was where I was wrong. I'm basically lockstep with the GM right now, okay? If there's any podcast that you should be listening to, it's this one. If there's any podcast you should be subscribing to, it's absolutely this one, because there is no one that is more mind-locked with Kyle Dubas in this city than the man in this chair right now. There is no question about it.
We do have the clips.
We have every single receipt on file. In fact, Austin should be already pulling them up. You should already be pulling them up.
They're on my computer.
Already be there. Clip, 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 clip. And what did they all say to me? JD, you're crazy. This isn't the time to remove Rasmus Sandin. You're crazy, they would say to me. And I would continue to go, I don't agree. I would say, move Engvall. They would say, you're crazy, JD. Engvall's a useful player.
He's fast.
He wins his minutes. He wins his minutes, JD, don't you know? I said put him on the moon, and that's basically what happened. They put him on the island, and it was only for a third. I said, go get Luke Shen.
He's on the moon now.
I said, go get that guy. That guy is the perfect 7th D for this team. They went out and got Luke Shen. Frank Saravelli of the Daily Faceoff. I love Daily Faceoff because it has the lines, right? And there's going to be nothing more fun over the next couple of weeks than going there and trying to do your own Daily Faceoff and try to make the Leafs lines. Frank, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, good morning. It's I don't know that you have a complete picture yet before Friday at 3 p.m.
Okay, yeah. This is where we're going, buddy. This is where we're going. Okay, let's just...
Nine bona fide NHL defensemen. That's a lot. I mean, and look, I know the old adage is that you can never have too many defensemen for a playoff run, but I don't know that all nine are going to be staying here.
Okay. If we're talking about the guys that are moving, though, it's going to be what, Gustafson that they reroute somewhere else? Like, who, like, are you talking about something of consequence here?
Well, I guess it depends on defined consequence. Or, like, you know, I don't think they're going to be flipping Gustafson, but I think now that they have that first round pick, obviously there's a chance they keep it, but there's a chance they also leverage it as well. And, you know, put themselves in a spot where they could improve their forward group a little bit more as well.
Mm. So who do you think?
Because it's 12, 9, and 2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have a little bit of cap space, enough to activate Matt Murray, enough to sign Matt Nyes once his season's done at Minnesota. And Kyle Dubas was in Minnesota last weekend watching Nyes up close.
Mm-hmm.
They could do that, but they could also create more cap space by moving Justin Hall.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say that Justin Hall moves, because I would say that, you know, looking at the rest of the roster, I would say that it's mostly unmovable guys. Like they're not going to move.
And he's also a UFA. I mean,
yeah, that's what I mean. So like Hall plus your first, and then you're trying to look at what exactly, where are you trying to look?
I guess it depends on where you see a fit and a need. So play the Daily Faceoff lineup card GM, what stands out to you as I think we're talking lowercase holes at this point. There aren't really many voids left to fill.
Yeah, I don't think that there's too many voids left to fill either. I think that if you're looking for anything, it would still be a scoring winger, like somebody who can, finish for you. The only problem is I don't really know who that person is, and I don't know what that fit is that would involve that first round pick. Or that would involve Justin Hall. I like the blue line, I'll be honest. I just think that if you're shuffling in Hall and you're shuffling out Shen, you're doing those two things. You're keeping that guy as the seventh defenseman. I don't really view the other two guys as real, legitimate NHLers. Like, not, I shouldn't say it like that, but playoff guys that I think the Leafs would want in the roster.
Who are you referring to?
Gustafson and Timmins. Like, those two guys, I don't think...
So Gustafson has 40 points this year.
Yeah.
And I think what he does is actually gives you another power play threat if Riley doesn't work out.
I think that.
And not to say doesn't work out, meaning think back to the Montreal playoff series. Riley wasn't the guy quarterbacking the power play.
Yep.
So that tells you, and look, I think one of the biggest things that we've learned about the Toronto Maple Leafs in the last 2 weeks is they don't necessarily feel all warm and fuzzy about the group that they have now, changing out 30% of it in 2 weeks.
So, you know, you had a thing the other day. I saw the tweet where you talked about sending potentially Kerfoot to Vancouver. What do you think, that's still alive and active? Because I could think of something like, they really did love Garland at one point. It's just been hard for me to picture the idea of them trying to bring somebody like that back when he has term and there's real money attached to him.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing it.
Yeah.
But look, never say never. I just think that's a little far-fetched.
Yeah. So what is the idea behind Kerfoot then, potentially still to Vancouver? Is that
dead? Well, it was a few days ago when we were saying, hey, something else has to happen here.
Yep.
Like, just pure math perspective, this can't work the way that it is right now. Not if you want to activate Matt Murray.
Yeah. So you believe then, like, let's just put it this way. If their Leafs are most likely to make any moves remaining, they would likely involve Justin Hall.
That's the guy that I would circle as a likely candidate, yes.
Yeah, and then it would probably...
But I've been saying Kerfoot for... I was saying Kerfoot for a week. Kerfoot, Engvall, or Hall. It's a lot of guys to say at once.
Yeah.
And obviously, Kerfoot is the guy standing with Hall. So Engvall moves on. And I think no one was really expecting Sandin.
But I was.
Well, I heard the intro. Yeah, I get that you were. Yeah. In some ways, I thought that he kind of, you know, stuck out like a sore thumb at times. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they were able to turn that into a first-round pick.
Unreal.
It's probably anything you could ask for.
Yeah, I could not believe it. Like, I truly could not believe that the price coming back for him was that. I'm surprised Washington coveted him that way. Good for them for doing it. I hope the best for the player. But, yeah, I didn't see... with 1 year remaining on that deal, to be sending out a first round pick for him with where Washington was at, I was a little bit surprised that that was a decision that they made, especially in this off or during this part of the season.
Yeah, I think you probably could have leveraged it a better way had you waited until the summer.
Yep, exactly.
And it is almost, you know, depending on where they finish exactly, you're going to be a second round pick based on where Boston is trending right now.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I think the big question you ask yourself, and this is probably the exact exercise that the Leafs walked them through in the last week, is what is Sandin's ceiling? And I don't know that many people saw him outside of being at the very best, a 4-5.
This is why Dubas did the right thing trading him right now.
Do it now instead of have him be exposed. And it's the same reason why the Nashville Predators decided to move on from Matthias Ekholm yesterday.
Yeah. See, this is what I loved about the Sandin thing, is if you would have kept him, he wouldn't have been playing for you come postseason time. And what are you saying to the rest of the league when you're going, this guy who is another year older, who's now into, like, going to be heading into year two of his RFA contract, he's not making our playoff roster. Yeah, so I just thought that was too powerful a signal to send the league, and that's why I wanted him moved at this deadline, and it worked out. Again, I've gotten everything I wanted, Frank. Like, everything is working out for me. I could not be a happier guy today than... I could not feel like a more vindicated guy today than after what happened. Okay, so that being said, we all thought...
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, man. I hear the sincerity in your voice, in your Philly voice, you know? Like, he's a sincere guy still. But for real, a lot of us wanted things like this to happen. A lot of people thought, okay, maybe these are the moves that they could make. Hey, maybe this is the salary that can move out. I don't think anybody saw the Leafs going this drastic, right? It was always, hey, a move, and then, hey, another move. And what's been crazy about this is they've basically turned over, what, like 30% of the roster at this point? And people are saying, like, yeah, and then they could still end up doing a little bit more. Where did this come from? Like, what are you hearing about just some of the impetus for this? Like, we keep hearing the word compete, 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 but this was a really good hockey team, and I can't remember ever before a team that was this high up in the standings making this many moves and tearing apart their roster at this part of the season.
Well, I think it tells you a few things. One, they didn't think the team that they currently had was good enough vis-a-vis the rest of the teams that they have to compete against. Two, you mentioned compete. I'll use a different C word, and that's care. I don't know that the care quotient was there, the give a bleep meter. And sometimes you end up with another C word, and that's guys being too comfortable. And when you shake things up the way that they have, and you put players in a spot where you know, William Nylander, for instance, has a, you know, a, I don't want to say teary-eyed, but like obviously, you know, he's close with the other Swedes. Like,
yeah,
to say goodbye and jettison those guys, what you do is you snap everyone's head to attention. And they needed that, I think, because they are in sort of the doldrums of another long regular season that doesn't really have much meaning, to then flip a switch when it comes to playoff time and say it's go time. And so you add a Conn Smythe Trophy winner, you know, you add these other pieces that have veteran presence and are now hungry to join a team that has an authentic chance to go on a deep run and win a Stanley Cup. And you do all that while improving, I would say, not just at every position, but also on the margins.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, when you boil it down at the end of the day, and the Leafs aren't going to be shouting this from the mountaintop, but it's that essentially it's an indictment on the core, the group that's been there,
yeah,
saying this needs to be better. And to change out 30% on the fly, I think a lot of people were, to your point, hoping, but didn't necessarily view it as a reality because we weren't entirely sure or sold that the Leafs internally felt the same way.
No, buddy, this is I did this rant yesterday too, which is if this is all on the core now. This is where all the pressure lies, is on, yeah, Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Riley. And
What it does is we can't do any more for you than what we have.
Exactly.
We have not left a single stone unturned. And to you now, you know, we passed the torch, not to borrow a Montreal Canadiens reference, but it's up to you to do the job.
100%. And that's why it's, I think that what is great about this too is you basically are going to have a fact-finding mission with those guys heading into the postseason this year. Is depending on what happens, now you can more confidently move into next season and go, all right, we got bounced again. We tried a completely different look around these guys. We put a bunch of winners around these guys. We put, you know, we've tried everything. We've tried basically every machination of different bottom sixes and different defensive pairings that we could possibly try, and we still keep losing. So something needs to change up top. And I think that this is the end of the roll it back era as we know it, potentially, of just simply, don't worry, we'll just try different things around the stars.
Well, it was going to be anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, probably. I just think that now, though, you know, you have more information, right? Like, you have a different type of group. There's no more excuse making of, well, if they would have had a little bit more of this down the line. It's like, nope, they've had every different kind of look now. Now you got to find out what you have. Okay, so we've done what comes next. You know, could be a haul, could be something else. We're assuming that nothing overly major gets done here, though, right? Like, is there any other name that you've heard them even remotely linked to?
Well, here's the only thing I don't have line of sight on, and not to be too definitive on anything, is what are some players with term out there that they might be interested in that hasn't really been talked about? And I don't mean a Leaf connection, but what team is holding a player right now that the Leafs covet that we haven't talked about? I've got 50 names on my board, and a lot of them have term, but that's only, you know, 8% of the league.
Do you think that
there's got to be more out there that the Leafs that could potentially be looking at? But I don't think it's going to be anything too significant. Think about all the needs that they've addressed. They've added that, you know, defensive type defenseman in Jake McCabe, a guy who can steady things down. You know, in Lafferty, they've got, you know, elite speed to burn and a penalty killing edge and some attention to detail in his game. Both those guys have term. Achari is another attention to detail guy who can help grind in the playoffs. O'Reilly up front, we've talked about him for a couple weeks. Like, there's not a lot left to tackle. And on the sidelines, as I mentioned, you now have three healthy defensemen that would step into any team's top six for the playoffs.
Yeah. So maybe we see Hall moved, is the way that I'm reading this. I was a little surprised by the Shen price. I thought that was going to be a little bit more. What happened there? Why did he only end up going for a third?
Because you were listening to the Vancouver media.
Like, shots fired.
I'm kidding.
No, buddy, don't kid. I hate them.
People were saying, could you get a first?
I'm going
for this
on Halford and Bruff on Friday. I can't wait to roast those bros about this. Like, I cannot
wait. Well, I'll be on tomorrow. I'll just roast myself.
Good. Tell them Bunk's coming. Cancel that Friday hit. Tell them they don't want it. There's nobody in Vancouver that wants to hear me on Friday. I'm telling them. Promise them that that's going down. But yeah, sorry. Continue. What were you saying about it? The price?
Yeah, I was just going to say, at some point in like December, the conversation was, can they get a first? And I was like, a first? Like, I don't know. I don't think so. And then it was, well, can they get a second? They might have turned down a second last year. And I was saying, well, reading the market, it seems kind of high. It seemed like he was always kind of in that third round pick territory. And so that's where it ends up.
You surprised at all? Again, there people think Dubas and Lou still have a little bit of mentorship, but where was your level of surprise when you just saw, hey, that's where he was going and that it was Engvall coveted a third? Because again, the charts, like you said all those C words, you didn't include like the fact that all of Chartville is on complete life support right now across hockey. Like they are completely like flustered. They have no idea what's happening. Lou Lamoriello is the new chart god. The guy who cares about heart and compete is Kyle Dubas. The world has been turned on its ear. But yeah, just what was your reaction to that one?
Well, if you actually boil it down, essentially it turns into Shen for Engvall.
Of course.
And additional cap space. So
nice business.
Yeah, I just... Well, Shen just has an element that no one else on their blue line has.
Bingo.
That physicality is legit. Like, he's one of the hits leaders for a long time for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's also actually had one of his most productive years. Like, he has as many points this year as John Klingberg.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll see.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Frank.
He's not going anywhere.
No, he seems like you like the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're in.
I do like the Leafs because I think they've gotten a lot better.
Yeah, agree.
And I think they've ripped the Band-Aid off. And instead of worrying about what public perception might be if we change all these players out, they just said, who cares?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. We're going to find every imaginable upgrade we can get our hands on. And then we're just going to let things fall where they may.
I guess, you know, the only thing that you've kind of confused me about is the Gustavson part of this. Because, yeah, all right, he has some points this year. But I just never, that's not the type of defenseman that I thought the Leafs needed at all. And I just assumed that if there was a reroute guy, that it was going to be him. And then, yeah, especially I thought it was pretty indicative of the way that Washington just sort of threw him in the trade. Like, yep, whatever, have him. No biggie. You can just take this guy. Like, I don't see where the fit is in the roster. And, you know, I don't really think that he's the type of guy that you want as a seventh D. And then you have Connor Timmins, who's at least been around it and does some of what he does. And like from a points per game
Gustavson
standpoint,
does it a lot better.
Yeah, I guess
right now.
Yeah. I
they're not all that they're somewhat comparables, but if you were looking for a throw in, like the guy would have been, you know, just from a fit perspective, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, but
yeah,
the Caps are still talking extension with him, and if not, he's going to move.
Yeah,
so they're going to get something for him.
So, you believe that?
So he's not really a throw-in, is my point.
Yeah, but so you believe like Gustavson is going to end up like being maybe in the mix here for?
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean, look, here's the thing about his point production is a vast chunk of it is at even strength.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even say, oh, well, that's just a power play guy that piled up points with Alex Ovechkin. He for the most part wasn't on their first unit, and second. Yeah. That first unit doesn't get off the ice.
Yep. All right, let's move into some of the other teams. Is Edmonton done? Because this doesn't feel like quite enough.
No, they're not done. Look, they've now got cap space. And I think everyone is still in that Edmonton dressing room picking their jaws up off the floor because they did not think Tyson Barrie was going to be the guy to go. I just tweeted, you know, so many parallels between Patrick Kane and Jonathan Quick going on Tuesday, two franchise icons that delivered multiple cups in their cities, but also two really popular players in Quick and Barrie that were traded that I think is going to rattle the cages of both of those teams that are heading for the playoffs. Like we're all bracing for trades, but I don't think anyone thought that those would be the guys on the move. And so now it's really interesting in Edmonton because they tinker with the league's best power play and take a popular piece off of their team. But now in return for moving Barrie, the reward is the cap space of what is going to come next. I think it's one, maybe two transactions. If they can also move Warren Fogle, who I think they've thought about, maybe Kyler Yamamoto. Those are two options. And the $1.3 million in cap space they have now, you get a team to eat half. You're talking a player somewhere in the $2.6 million range. So they've got some stuff that they can do at forward.
Yeah, I was going to say. So the assumption is that they add up front. Yeah, Tyson Barrie seems like the coolest dude. He's been on this podcast before. He was even taking it well me joking about how hard I was on him as a player when he was here. But yeah, I think it's pretty, in, like, it's pretty indicative.
Just a guy that was unfortunately miscast in Toronto. Like, if you start your season and you have Tyson Barrie and you don't use him on your first power play, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, I think it also was, he was miscast in terms of he was like the worst kind of player that they could bring on to that team at that time. And then they
Here's the thing. You can't, you have to prop, when you trade for a player, you have to properly set expectations. Yep.
Well, it's
Tyson
tough to
Barrie
do that when you trade Nazem Kadri for him.
He's a producing machine on the power play. And so then you bring him in, you don't use him for what he's best at, and then you want to rip him for all the things that he's not good at.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, then whose fault is that?
Mm. I would say not mine.
I would say that started and ended with Mike Babcock.
Yeah. I mean, he still, after Babcock left in the playoffs, I thought really struggled and kind of showed some of his failings as a player, and that really hurt you. And I think that's probably what Edmonton was thinking here too. That's crazy though, that part of it, knowing that he's that close with Connor McDavid, was the big surprise there for me. And now it does feel like Edmonton has some real pressure on their shoulders to make some significant moves moving forward here, to basically be able to look at that dressing room and say, don't worry, it's justified. Because Matthias Ekholm, sure, that feels so incredibly light right now. What's your read on how much general managers are trying to, maybe, you said it about the thing with term, right? The teams Toronto's talking to and some of those guys we don't know, because generally we are looking at UFAs or guys on really bad teams that need a change in situation. But do you think that given the prices that some of these teams are paying and just how crazy things have gotten with trades and the pressure that's ramped up, that a lot of other teams might be pivoting to a little bit more of a sell mode or offering more players?
100%. Like, this has become a bit of a bonanza. Yeah. I talked about a team last night on social media, the Seattle Kraken. Like, they desperately want to make the playoffs and show their market that they're moving forward in the right way. But first round pick for Carson Soucy plus now?
Yeah.
I mean,
gotta do it.
You're going through your roster and you're saying, yeah, we'll do that. Like, and at a 77 or 86% shot to make the playoffs, we'll trade this guy and we're still very likely to make it. So you can have the best of both worlds. I think other teams that don't really have sell in their MO, like Calgary, like Florida, some other teams that are right on the fringes of it, they're now sitting back saying, well, what if we start to get calls on this player? And they've been doing it for the last couple of days.
Has this been your favorite deadline so far as an insider?
Probably my least favorite.
No, shut up. Come on. This is
11 trades yesterday?
This is what you do. This is what you live for, Frankie. Don't say that. People would kill to be you.
Last night, for the first time in my career, I actually fell asleep at my desk. Wow. I woke up at
You're like 2:45,
halfway through a story on Jonathan Quick.
Yeah.
With drool all over my face.
Yeah, I love it. You should live for this. Again, everybody in this, like all these guys in this room that I've got that are, you know, young upstart media bros, they would kill to be you. They would kill to have the contact book. They would kill to be just like ripping stories up at the dailyfaceoff.com, which is excellent. You know, they would be dying
this
to do that. This is the dream. What do you want? You want the downtime? You want after the deadline where it's just...
Yeah, well, I like Saturday would be nice. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, come on.
Well, here's the thing.
Breaking
especially
news.
Like now that Gavrikov and Korpisalo, like who's like, what's next? Who's left?
That's the beauty.
I got to put out a new top 50 board. Like we need new names, bud.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of this, Frank. That's what's so great about this deadline. This is why... So the number one most untouchable deadline to me will always be 2003, I want to say. 2003, that's when the Leafs brought back Gilmore. They basically went out and decided, let's get all the olds. And I was like, hell yes, let's do that. And I just remember sitting there, and it was all happening that day. That was a really, really fun one. They brought in Phil Housley that year. It was just good. It was just a good time deadline for me. And that was kind of the peak of deadline season, really, between like 03, 06, I want to say, somewhere around there. Me being in like high school, junior high to early university, where you would just plunk yourself down on the couch.
Back when the Leafs would win playoff series?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sorry, too soon.
You're on the Leafs team now, Frank. We need you to act accordingly.
I am a neutral observer of everything.
I am a fan of nothing. I know you are.
And it's fun to watch, though, because, like, you know what? Like, if they do all this and still don't win, then what?
Yes, exactly. Exactly, exactly, exactly. But why I like this deadline so much is there has been craziness. This has been wild. These last few days have been truly insane. No Leaf fan was expecting much was going to be coming after the Ryan O'Reilly trade. I even said it multiple times where I kept going, well, what draft picks are they going to give away? Like, who are they going to trade away? What do they have left to give? How else could they make it work?
And, well, and then Kyle says,
yeah, don't worry.
We're not we see the importance of not trading players from our roster.
Yep, exactly.
Boom.
Exactly. And it's just been, it's been brilliant this entire time from the Leafs standpoint, from how crazy it's gotten around the league. We've seen Patrick Kane move. We've seen, yes, this drama that's unfolding that you've been tweeting about in Los Angeles about Jonathan Quick, where all of a sudden they've just gone, yep, the past is the past. See you later, Johnny. We're bringing in Korpisalo. We're moving forward. We're doing the new thing now. Well, it's felt like...
And you never know what's next, because
as
we're talking, what's filing into my text message inbox right now is, hey, sounds like the Columbus Blue Jackets are back in on Jacob Chychrun.
There we go.
You just don't know.
See? That's good stuff. That's good stuff, Frankie. That's what we like to hear on this show. Things potentially happening, you know? What else is potentially
Everything
happening?
Everything is happening. Yeah.
What else is happening, Frank? What else is in that text inbox right now? Just read all your texts out loud and say who they're from.
I don't think I can do that.
Yeah.
That would be a bad idea.
Yeah. Okay, don't say who they're from.
A very, very bad idea.
Whose name hit your text inbox today that you hadn't heard before today? Who might hit the top 50 list?
No one really knew. There's no one new at all, actually.
No one really knew.
I've put them all out there.
Yeah. So you think
the latest one yesterday was Morgan Geeky in Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's moving the needle.
Yeah. He's a good player.
There's some increased talk about Bertuzzi. Look, we just talked about teams that are intrigued about the prices. Bertuzzi, yep. Verana, maybe a Philip Zadina. Like, they're all saying, well, we're right there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could get this, we could then, you know, put our rebuild into overdrive.
I got to tell
take
you.
Take those assets this summer and flip them for better pieces.
If Bertuzzi does become available, and yeah, he actually feels like he'd be out of the price range of that, you know, Bruins first round pick plus whatever pieces the Leafs could screw around with. But if you were talking about, hey, there's no other real places that you could fill in, yeah, that would actually be a guy to me where
you'd feel... Give me a guy that has skill and a lot of bite.
Exactly. That's legit. And someone
but
who...
I hate the optics of the... And the tired... you know, everyone tries to draw the connections between a GM and their former team, like a Ken Holland in Detroit.
Yeah.
But, like, Tyler Bertuzzi would look unbelievable in an Oiler uniform.
Yeah.
Here's for the all thing. The same reasons.
Yeah, Tyler Bertuzzi would look damn good anywhere. If you're going to the playoffs and you're going to grab Tyler Bertuzzi, I think that you're feeling pretty good about it. Okay, how does this play out, last thing, in Los Angeles? Because nobody's been on this more than you. Yeah, you're reporting, dude, Quick flew back with the Kings?
Yeah, I think he, first off, it's not easy to get flights from Winnipeg. So you'd need, connectors, I bet, to get to Columbus.
All right, yeah, that makes more sense now that it was Winnipeg.
But
yeah.
Still, he also probably needed to... I don't think he was packing thinking that he's going anywhere either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone said... I saw a mention this morning on Twitter. They said, hey, you know, did Jonathan Quick, when he signed his 10-year deal, really think that he was going to get to the end of it? And I was like, yeah, I bet when there's 6 weeks left on it and your team's in the playoffs that you're not thinking that you're going to be the guy that's going to go.
Yeah.
He's not happy, I can tell you that. And look, yeah. I don't know what's going to happen next. I think there were all sorts of rumblings on Tuesday night. Would he report, you know, what would happen? Would he just say no? He doesn't have a no trade clause, but no one can make you get on a plane and go.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of oddity is
he's going to pull the Alonzo Mourning.
I'm not going to say that he is or isn't, but the oddity is the Columbus Blue Jackets would probably be like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
We made the trade. We got the pieces we want. We weren't really planning on having you be part of our team outside of these next 6 weeks. That's fine. We'll suspend you and not have to pay you. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd rather do that, right? They just suspend
100%.
A guy. Yeah, they'd rather just suspend and not pay. But, like, yeah, what are his options? There's no – that is one weird thing
it's
about –
It's the reverse Jeff Carter.
Yeah. that's good. I like that. That's really good. Frank, thanks for coming on today, man. This was great. Like, I always love having you. You always bring, like, a little bit of that extra – that inside stuff, but also the juice. It's great. I love our chats, man.
I enjoy it. I do what I can.
Yeah, see you, buddy. Thanks for coming on. And yeah, tell those guys out in Vancouver. Friday. Friday. Oh, it's coming. There's Frank Saravelli of the Daily Faceoff, NHL insider. And yeah, it doesn't feel... That's my favorite thing about what's been happening right now is every time they do something crazy, you get to go, is Dubas done? But is he done? Is he done? And now he's just looming around. You know what he's doing? He's doing like the head fake thing where he's like, huh? Huh? You know, like... throwing his head at you like Matt Barnes with the basketball to Kobe, where he's like, am I done? Am I done? I don't know. Flinch, flinch. That's it. So, yeah, when they brought in Gustafson, again, to me, this is just my opinion. People, feel free to have your own. No, like, I'm not a huge fan of the guy. I know he's got a bunch of points, but sure, even strength. I don't think that these are directly attributed to him. And I will say that in defense of him, that's the same thing with Luke Shen. Like, if you look at Luke Shen's points this season, these are not primary assists. These are not goals, right? These are things that he's not directly involved in the play on for a lot of the points. Gustafson, to me, like, when Frank says, yeah, but he's a better version of Connor Timmins, well, he shoots from the left side of the ice. And okay, like, maybe that's true. But Connor Timmins, like, his one thing that he's done with the Leafs when he stepped in is provide them with points. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that he continuously does. I think he at one point had 16 points in 18 games for the Leafs. I don't know what it's at exactly right now. I don't have this in front of me, but that's not what the Leafs need right now. If there's anything to be done here, I frankly don't know. Now I'm in the position that I was talking about yesterday with Rasmus Sandin, where I said, I don't like the idea that you're injured away from Sandin. I don't mind the idea that you have Justin Hall and Luke Shen competing for being your sixth defenseman. That I'm just more comfortable with. So if the team is going to bring in somebody else, great. But I don't like Gustafson and Timmins being your 7-8 because that puts you back into the same position that I think you were in before with Sandin, where you have a really unideal situation when it comes to who's the first man in should there be an injury on your blue line come the postseason. And so, yeah, people want to rip on Justin Hall. People here, you know, for whatever reason, they can't stand the guy, a lot of the fan base. I think genuinely that a lot of us, we start ripping on a player and we just never see the good they do. Like, even, come on, for me, I know that I do a lot of bits on Pierre Engvall. I can understand that he's a big, strong, fast guy that has had a lot of good possession metrics and who does, over a large sample size, win his matchups. The thing I have with him is, and my counter to these things and why I don't think it's just should be all played out on the spreadsheet is, yeah, he gets more advantageous matchups because of the team that he plays on, probably more so than a lot of other teams where Toronto has John Tavares and Austin Matthews for the vast majority of the season, mm-hmm. playing in those top six tough minutes. And usually their role is come in and kill some time. And Engvall is really good at zone entries, which are a highly valuable thing, right? It is. Mm-hmm. They're really valuable. Having possession of the puck and entering the zone is great.
Yeah.
But everything else, once he gets in there, has never been overly impressive to me. Yeah. He doesn't forecheck very well. He doesn't stand in front of the net and tip pucks. I'm not going to reveal things that I know about certain things off the ice, but I would say that I feel pretty comfortable with his, like, the non-care factor with him has been a concern definitely at times. And it isn't just the way that he's a stoic figure. But I, again, acknowledge that there are good things about the guy's game. He's obviously an NHL player. And I've said over and over that he's a regular season player. And I don't really love him come playoff time. Mm-hmm. That there is a difference between the two games. And his skill set, to me, is less valuable come playoff time as it is over 82 games where he gets to play a lot of sheltered minutes and sheltered role.
Right.
That being said, for Justin Hall, I do think that his rap is a little bad. I think that people are way too tough on him given what he's had to do the last couple of years. It's funny too, because when he first came in, he was very much a fan favorite. He came in, it was the dad's trip. He scored a goal. It was this guy, this former second round pick that Kyle Dubas had a lot of faith in, that he brought in through the Marlies, that had a lot of success there, that had played with some of the guys that were on the team. And then Justin Hall steps in and there was a moment where people were just going, holy crap, what do the Leafs have here? I was genuinely one of the only people that when they extended him, you can go back, look at the tweets, look at the records. I got them all there. They're stamped. Who said, did they really have to give Justin Hall this extension? This seems like a bit much. And then the worm turned a little bit on the player. But Dubas doubled down on his guy, and he decided not to expose him and let Jared McCann walk. That's kind of one of Dubas's worst ones. Sneaky, one of his really, really, really bad ones, because he made such an astute move grabbing McCann and then decided not to expose Hall instead of McCann, which, sure, cost certainty blue liner. Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But Hall stays, and he's paired with an aging Jake Muzzin, and they don't work out very well because there's a ton of expectation for them to be a shutdown pairing. But this year, like, I watch every Leaf game, do Leafs talk, subscribe and review. Can't say I've had a lot of can't believe Justin Hall tonight conversations like I've had in the past.
Mm-hmm. He definitely gets a much worse rap than he deserves.
Just saying. And if we're talking about a guy that you want to have in the playoffs and we're talking about the care factor and bringing in dudes who can play their role, mm-hmm. I think Justin Hall is a penalty killer and someone who can play some heavier minutes is more valuable to this team right now than an Erik Gustafsson or a Connor Timmins. Some people disagree. I know the internet definitely disagrees, but yeah, that's just, again, one man's opinion. Let's take a quick break. Let's come back because we just about ran an hour there. We got to take quick breaks sometimes.
Sometimes.
So that all the fellas can get paid. Quick break. We'll come back. Christopher Stieg at 10 o'clock today.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
All right, only a couple minutes here because I want to get to Versteeg, who I had to be the insider to yesterday. It's like, you aware of everything that's happening?
I just got off the ice.
Okay. You're going to come on talking about it?
Sure.
That's the thing about Versteeg. He sounds like Kessel. That's why his Kessel impression's the best, because he doesn't have to do too much change. Anyway, Christopher Stieg in a few minutes. I'm just going to give a couple of thoughts on some of the other moves. I can't state enough how much I think Dubas is killing it right now. Like how...
I can tell.
How... I've always been a believer that Dubas inherited a lot and... He got way too much credit for the moves that he made around those guys. I liked the Muzzin trade. The Muzzin re-signing took a little bloom off the rose. The goaltender thing has never really been figured out here. It's been a lot of depth pieces that never really worked out. I actually think that Dubas, in this deadline, has basically had a bit of an admission where he's gone, you know what, I haven't done this correctly. Like, you don't change 33% of your roster with potentially more coming and not be saying to the world, you know what? A lot of you guys, what you were saying might have been right. A lot of what all you hockey fans were saying out there and other analysts and commentators on this team about the compete and the care and all those things. Yeah, you know what? Turns out those things actually might matter to me too. Okay, so cool. Gotten there. But it even stands out a little bit more how well he's done when I'm looking around the rest of the league. I can't judge the Rangers trade, right? This is a silly one. This is the Rangers getting a guy at a cheaper price.
The Patrick Kane one.
Yeah, because Chicago wants to do right by Patrick Kane.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, this is my only real thought about it, because clearly the Rangers, for this risk, right? What are they? They gave up a couple of picks.
Yeah, they gave up a prospect and a couple of picks.
Yeah. Yeah, you put in...
Yeah, I put in, so the Rangers gave
second,
up...
There it is. This is split up. Yeah, it's a second round pick. That's conditional. Can turn into a first, right? What's the condition?
So it's a 2023 second that will turn into a 2024 first, top 10 protected, or a 25 first if the Rangers make the Eastern Conference final.
Yeah, which they could.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad.
Yep.
And then a fourth. Decent. But they get Patty Kane, right? Who's been on fire lately and who's been trying to show the world that he is absolutely not washed. There's a touch of risk here from Kane's legacy standpoint, gotta say.
Hmm.
Well, because now he's on a Rangers team. Mm-hmm. He wanted to do this. Here's what you can never really knock. A guy with three cups who was the best player on those teams. Best American-born player. He already had that down. And when guys play their whole career in one spot, it just adds to the impenetrability of that guy. It just does.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing.
I totally agree.
And it's very rare now. And so it's even more coveted and more valuable. And so for him to have chased those Chicago records and stayed on that bad team, I don't think anybody would have knocked him for it.
Yeah.
But him sort of going, hey, I want to get rushed out the door a bit. I want to go chase a ring. Like, you don't really need to chase a ring. You already have three cups.
Yeah.
Awesome that he's such a winner that he wants to keep winning. No hate.
Yeah.
There's zero. I don't think that anything he did was wrong. I want to make that very clear. My only point here is that if he goes to the Rangers and they flame out in the first round and he scores no goals, that the conversation around him is going to be like, holy crap, he didn't really do anything for us.
Yeah.
And I think that there's at least a little bit of potential there. And so, yeah, good on him that he wants to win so badly that he would, I don't want to overstate what he'd be doing his reputation. He's still Patty Kane, but you get what I'm saying. That spends a summer where people are going, what exactly did you do? And then if he finishes his career on the Rangers and it's underwhelming, he resigns there, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been as unassailable had he just done it with Chicago and had all the stripes. Anyway, the second one is Edmonton.
Yeah.
Again, I would like an apology from the Oilers market because when you got bounced from the postseason last year, you can look up the tweets. I said, Nate, you ain't doing anything with that decor. And all the Oilers freaks, you all got so mad at me because it was like, whoa, what do you even know? Even one prominent Oilers media person who may have, I think, blocked me on Twitter that day. You all said, this decor is amazing. You don't get it. You don't know what's going on. I was like, disagree. Been always saying, can't have the Tyson Berry if you're going to win. Great guy in the room. Can snap it around on the power play. Probably takes too many shots on the power play, though. I would contend when they're going, oh, the number one power play. Can you believe that they took him off? I'm like, yeah, I can believe that they would put anybody. They could all put Pete back there. And I think he could figure out, like, get it to McDavid. Hey,
get
guys,
it to 97.
I don't think that when we remember that power play 20 years from now that we'll be going, like, and Tyson Berry was there as well. No, it's McDavid and Leon.
Yeah.
Of course it is. More than anything else. Those are the two pieces that, yeah, Tyson Berry's going to be a good power play player. But even here in Toronto, I was like, yeah, he was underwhelming at times when he got shot there with the amount of talent he had. So, yeah, they move out a guy who, I think this is a good trade from a hockey standpoint, but I do wonder, the buzz about rattling the room has been enough. And if we're looking at this from just a, hey, this is the Oilers' year. The Oilers should be loading up. Look at what the Leafs are doing versus what Ken Holland's doing. All right, bringing in Matthias Ekholm. I like him. I'm not in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's fine. He's good. Don't know how drastically it just changes the complete complexion of the team, though. Makes them a little bit better on the blue line. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
You moved out.
They do have him locked up for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Because he has some term.
Great. Again, solid. It's a good player that for a long time a lot of people have coveted. And has been sort of in the mix for whatever, trades. He's also, if we're going to do the, I don't think he's washed by any stretch of the imagination, but he's 32, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll be about 36 when that deal ends.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm very underwhelmed by the move. I went, that's your move? That's your big ticket item?
Mm-hmm.
They better have something up their sleeves. They better have that one other move. They did the best one last year, turned out, because Evander Kane, nobody wanted him around.
Yeah.
Including me. Oops. See, I also have misses. I'm not right all of the time. Just like 94%, I would say. Evander Kane goes to Edmonton for essentially nothing, and he's an amazing playoff performer for them. It was a great hit.
Yeah.
They need another move kind of like that, that moves the needle for me. Anyway.
Well, they'll get that when he returns from injury.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got this new thing called tranquilizer dart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I shoot it at people when I want them to shut up because it's just bad. Like, dart. Okay, quick break. Christopher Stieg. You can't start with a Vince Staples beat that takes too long to hit the, like, good part, you know? Because I try to wait for it.
I started it, like, 20 seconds in,
I know,
too.
It's too late. It's too late. You gotta work that later. Anyways, Leafs are completely changed. The passion is back. Hits are back in. Heart is back in. Caring is back in. Charts are in the fire. The chart folk melting down. Again, they're all moving to Long Island, and they're going to study under Lou. They're going to say, please teach us, oh, emperor of the charts. Oh, please let us know how this works out. It's a fun day in Leafland. Who better to talk to than my buddy Christopher Stieg? What's up, buddy? How we doing?
I was on a show 2 nights ago. Yeah, some say it was my best show ever.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did it.
Some say, huh?
Some say.
Yeah, some say. A lot of people talking about you.
So I sent it that day, so I can't promise I'm going to bring any heat today.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, especially since, you know, you're texting me like, what should I talk about? Like, I'll never give you anything. I'll never do it again. Like, that's it. The heat, your heat is just me. Like, I'm the furnace, you know? I'm heating this up. All right, so what was it? You were at a skate yesterday? You were with the kids? What were you doing? Because, yeah, you step off the ice and old insider bunk just lets you know, like, what is going down, what's transpiring. And then, I don't know, how much did your head spin over the next hour?
It was spinning because, you know, you get off, like you said, you're coaching kids and trades are happening and you're texting me crying about that I'm on another show. And it's just it was a mess of a couple hours. And I did feel bad about it. You know, I felt, I turned on you a bit, but
you did.
You know, and I brought heat. So it didn't matter.
Stop going back to you doing other shows and being a traitor, okay? We've already established that you feel guilty about that because it leaked out even there in your answer. Okay, so that's how much. Like, I'm blown away, dude. This is 33% of their roster, and they're saying, like, I just talked to Frank Cervelli. He thinks Hall could still be on the way out, that they've got to move one of these D-men because they've got nine guys. I don't agree. I like the idea of having Hall and Shen as your 6-7, where those two guys can swap in and out, and you're letting them compete for that spot. I don't want to see Gustafson on this playoff roster, and I certainly don't want to see Timmins. I've seen enough of that. But yeah, you actually have been in these dressing rooms. Having this much turnover on a contender is something we've never seen before. And so I do wonder, from a certain standpoint as a player, how, like, this feels like the risk part of it to me is too much out, too much change to a really, really good team.
Yeah, again, I'm going to start with the Gustafson part.
Uh-huh.
I'll start with that. So I don't mind the Gustafson part because I don't feel they have a true number one guy on a power play that can walk the blue line, use his feet, use his shot. Now, again, 5-on-5, he's a little suspect. But again, just for that power play piece, I don't mind it if they're slotting him in. I don't know if he's even going to play every night. The thing that I worry about with all the pieces coming in, and now they have moved two pieces out, which I don't mind. But prior to that, I worried about too many players. Mm. Too many players that, you know, you've had a lot of guys that have been playing really good hockey and they're doing what they need in order to help the team win. And then you bring in all these guys without moving anyone out. And now there's some of those bottom guys start to get caught in limbo. You know, am I going to play tonight? I was playing great. Okay, now I'm not on the power play anymore, second power play. I'm not on the second penalty kill. What's going on? Why is this guy getting bad? So that's what I was a little more worried about than just bringing certain guys in for that aspect and seeing, you know, it's more about a numbers thing. Again, competition within a team is great. Yeah, I went to Philadelphia. They brought me in, obviously, first and a third, hey, no big deal, but they bring me into Philadelphia. They didn't move anyone out, and then all of a sudden, I'm taking away Billy Lano's power play, and he's not happy about it, right?
Yeah.
So there's little things like that, the chemistry when you're taking so many guys in and you're not moving guys out, that could be altered a little bit. But that's where you're going to have to go right up to these guys, especially the guys that are still here, that their ice time may go down a bit or situations might go down a bit. You're going to have to tell them exactly what you need from them. Make them understand what they did is great so far, but say, hey, you know, Justin Hall, you're not going to be in the lineup now because Luke Shen might come in the odd night. We might need more of a physical guy. We might need a guy that can fight, that can stand up to the Tampa Bay Lightning because they bring in Janot and Maroon and all these guys. So, you know, unless they move them out, we don't know yet, but those are the things that I worry about a little bit more. Now, I like the moves they made. I like the guys they've brought in. I like the holes that they're filling, and I like what they're doing because, again, what did I say? In a year from now, where's Matthews going to be? Who knows? Where's Marner going to be in a couple years? Where's Nylander going to be? So they have to go for it. They have to fill the holes, and I think they're doing a great job, but that's now where they're going to have to get these guys together and be real upfront with what their roles are.
Yeah, dude, this is what I was saying earlier on the show is how – now you have the beauty with this core of if you lose this year, right? And people will always, there will always be a crowd of people that go the sample size and you got to just keep rolling over and you never change the core at all. Now you do have information of, oh, okay, maybe just something doesn't work with this group of five guys. Like these particular five guys now with having Ryan O'Reilly on their team and bringing in just a ton of physicality versus what they had before. Like it is just night and day. You add up, like, you go through their list of current hit leaders on the team, and it's just that that list is basically all the guys who just came in and nobody that's on.
They have to use these guys though now.
Yes.
That's where it goes to, because we brought in, what was it, Clifford and Simmons, and you bring in all these guys, and Clifford didn't play, you know, he took the bad penalty.
Yes.
Whatever. But you didn't bring them back in.
Yeah.
Right? So there's these guys that you bring in at these times to use them for physicality, but you don't play them and you don't slot them. It's like, okay, he can only play fourth line. No, Kyle Clifford played first line at times. He's not a first line player at all. He'll even tell you that. But Kyle Clifford can go up for one period and play first line to change the dynamic of a game with physicality. So again, you're bringing in these guys that are physical. You have to use them now. Yep. You have to use them in situations. You can't just say, oh, we brought them in. They're on the roster. They played 2 minutes. It didn't work. You have to use them.
Well, and they're in prominent spots, right? Like McCabe, prominent spot, going to play top 4 minutes with this team. Like, no doubt about it. Ryan O'Reilly, he's obviously going to play down the middle. How much of that is on the second line versus how much of that is on a new third line that I still don't. That's the one part of this that I don't see exactly who his partners would be on a third line that make too much sense. Like, I keep squinting at it and going, that's like, I don't want to see him with Kerfoot. And maybe Lafferty, but maybe it's his old buddy Achari and he moves off of his side. But yeah, there's no perfect third line with him. But still, you've got a ton of guys to choose from and try out if they do decide to go
this,
that way.
Though? Yeah. How about this? Nylander in a playoff run.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought this up. I brought that up yesterday or a couple of days ago on Leafs Talk, and I got a little bit of pushback from my buddy Sam about it, and he went, no, I just still want to see, you know, Tavares, who's going to eat more minutes than O'Reilly is going to eat him, and keep Nylander with him. And I went, all right, it's fair. But yeah, I thought kind of a similar thing of what happens, which guy do you think needs that player more, Tavares or O'Reilly?
I mean, I think Tavares does, just for the speed of the game. And O'Reilly can be, you know, and Tavares has to score and feel good to feel good about his game.
That's
O'Reilly,
I guess, doesn't. I'm sticking with him.
Yeah, and O'Reilly doesn't. So, again, I'm not saying Nylander has to move there, but I think you have some guys. Now, Kerfoot could move up, right?
Ugh.
He could play top six. He's not going to be super effective every time, but he can hold in there. And in a playoff run, if you're using three good centers stacked on each other, and you could even have David Camp there as the fourth, you have guys that can back onto each other, that can win draws, they can play hard in the D zone, they can create offense. And now you start to slot guys in that maybe their game gets elevated because of it. So looking back, Chicago Blackhawks, you know, you had Kane, you had Taze, you had Sharp, you had Boland, and then you didn't have to just put Kane with Taze. You could also put Kane, Taze, and Kopecky, or Kane, Taze, and myself, or just different guys. That third guy can always be slotted in based on what you need from that third guy. So if you find more pairs that work together, you don't even necessarily have to look at it as who's first, second, or third line. Mm-hmm. You're going to have three lines that you could roll out. I don't even mind David Camp at times and moving to the wing.
No, he's solid as a penalty kill guy and as a fourth line shutdown defensive zone center dude. Like, no, he's very useful. And that's the beauty of this is Leafs now have, I think, three guys who could be a fourth line center, and you go, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good fourth line center in Lafferty and Kampf and in Achari. And so having those guys that can move around and that you have depth at the position, I don't feel like you can have enough of it. It just still feels like they're going to have a bit of trial and error anyways to see kind of who fits where else around the roster, even though, again, everything is pretty much going to be determined by whether or not that core piece of this team can take that step, whether the goaltending can step up, all that stuff. There is the Leafs continue to get outscored in their bottom six every single year in the playoffs. It was a huge, huge swing last year for them when they lost to Tampa. And now I definitely feel way better about, the guys that they can put down in that bottom six who can score a playoff type of goal, who play with some speed. Like, there's way more identity down there. There's way more physicality. There's way more compete.
Yeah, I like it a lot better. Yeah. I like when you're looking at a matchup again. You know, you have O'Reilly and Tavares playing together right now. But in a matchup in a playoff series, you put O'Reilly or Tavares against the other team's third line.
Yep.
Just the eye test passes. You don't even have to look at the analytic. But are you creating matchups in that bottom six now that give you leverage? So, again, maybe Kerfoot moves to the third line with a Tavares or O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But now you're creating offense from that area. That puts Camp in a better area to create offense against another team's third or fourth line. Unless, again, I don't even mind. I'd like to see Camp try wing. I think he skates well. I think he can handle the puck. I played with him a little bit in Chicago. I know him. I know he's very solid as a center, but he can also move around the lineup. So it just, the bottom six looks way better, but now you got to utilize that new identity rather than just stifle it and not put him on the ice.
Well, you know what I also like about it, though, is you can have all these guys basically get in-game load management who all play down the middle like they're doing with Tavares right now, where... Yeah. Hey, relax. You don't have to work your ass off. You get to have a vacation in the game. Go from playing center heavy minutes to going and playing the wing where it's much easier.
Yeah, they're going to be able to tinker with things and help guys out throughout the rest of the year and see what works. And I like that. I like putting Tavares on the wing. Like you said, load management. Don't worry about grinding it out, but also get O'Reilly going. You know, you bring him into a new team. You want him to feel confident. You want him to feel confident in the system. So put him with guys that demand the puck a lot, that don't put a lot of stress on him. So I like what they're doing right now. And I think they got a lot of time to tinker with it, but they're going to have to see what works. And at some point, they're going to have to get going and understand what they feel or they're going to need in order to beat Tampa, what kind of lineup and what kind of makeup. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to have to find that sooner than later, but they have time to work with it.
Yep, 100%. Okay, so I mentioned my fear, which is too much change and it, you know, rattling the room a little bit and it not working out for every single guy, it feeling a little bit too much like business and guys not feeling rewarded. Like, it's weird because you have a fine line between, hey, you rewarded us with ads versus, hey, you changed 33% of our team and we felt pretty good about it. We were second behind only a Bruins team that was setting like a historical play pace. If you put us in the Western Conference, we're the number one team in that conference, like with a bullet. Colorado's coming around, but still Toronto has just been consistently better this season. Now my positive flip to this. I've always thought, Chris, that one of the issues I had with rolling it back, and especially with this team in general, was when they got in a tight spot, they would look around the room and see all the same faces and wonder, well, what exactly is going to change? You can almost predict the result. Do you buy my, you know, change of choking theory that now all of a sudden Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, Marner, they're going to look around a dressing room and see just a whole bunch of guys that they never saw there before who don't carry any of the baggage of the years prior?
I think that's a part of it. I mean, you look around the room and you see Ryan O'Reilly, a guy who's a Conn Smythe winner, who knows what it takes to win, who can calm a room down. You look around and, you know, you see Jake McCabe. He's never played a playoff game, but he's going to play, you know, he could play arguably some of his best hockey. Jay Bouwmeester did, never played a game how many years, and he goes in and plays great hockey. I think his style allows him to do that. So I think that definitely helps. You look at Pierre Engvall. Has he been a guy you can count on? Nothing against him. I think he's a good player. But has he been a guy you can count on when it mattered the most in the playoffs? So if you're looking across the room, maybe that could be psychologically an issue. If you're looking at Sandin, if you're looking at certain guys that they've moved out, clearly the management sees it, right? They look at the roster. They look at these guys, and they're like, well, you know, they're doing okay on a really good team with a lot of skill. But when it comes down to it, are they going to be the guys that can execute what we need? Clearly they're not. So they moved them out and they brought guys in they believe that can. But in a room, when you're looking across, and for myself, you see Jonathan Tate, you see Patrick Kane, like, this guy's the most clutch player of all time. You know, he's going to go on the ice in the, you know, the third overtime of a game five and still be throwing backhand sauce passes to one-timers, to guys up top in the slot. You know, you just have a different, fresh, you know, different confidence in yourself and different confidence in your team, and you're almost like, yeah, this is going to happen. So if they can psychologically change that by adding certain elements to their team, and they have done that, hopefully that can get them over the top, and I do believe that is a piece of it.
So this, it kind of stung yesterday with the Luke Shen trade, where I was really, I'm pretty excited about it. I like him as a player. I think that there's a cool narrative fit. The guy returns, right? The prodigal son kind of thing. But it was just tough to see. I think he's a 15-year vet now, and he joined the team in my first year in university.
You're old.
I know. It
I was there as a rookie with him, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're both all rookie team.
Yeah.
Humble brag, but yeah. The next year I played with him.
Yeah. You played with him, though, as I was going to say, too, is like you've known him for a long time. And, yeah, he played on that team, what was it, 11? Yeah.
11, and then I played with him in L.A., too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what do you think about the guy? What do you think he brings that room? And, yeah, what do you think, I guess, more importantly, he brings on the ice?
You're just bringing a good person who's willing to do whatever it takes to win. So Luke Shen, put him as the seventh D-man. He's not going to play. He's not going to complain. He's going to go out when he's called upon, and he's going to do what's needed to do. And that's basically what the Leafs need. They need guys that might not demand things that might not be in the lineup. And that's what Luke Shen's going to bring. He might not be in the lineup every night. You're going to go play again. Pat Maroon and all these guys, first round, what do you need? You need a physical guy, might be able to change the series with a big hit, a fight, whatever it may be. He's going to step in and he's going to try to provide that. I don't think you're going to really see his value throughout the rest of the regular season until a big playoff series comes along. But you're just getting a great guy, a great leader, and someone who's low maintenance and is willing to do whatever it takes to win. And that's just the guy they need. But they're going to have to need to, they're going to need to utilize him in position to succeed when they need him the most and rely on him. That's the biggest, what have I been saying for 2 years? My biggest problem with Sheldon Keefe is not, he's a great coach. He does a lot of good things, but I don't think he relies on guys enough or trusts certain guys enough to get the job done. He's only trusting a small, certain few. So this is where you're going to need to utilize these guys you brought in when it matters the most.
Yeah, I like that. And this is what is crazy about this move is I've always said, you know, you got to build two teams, right? One for the regular season and one for the playoffs. And God, that's hard. And it just feels like Dubas went, you know, we know I can build a regular season team. And we know that these guys, you can basically put whatever pieces around them. We'll win in the regular season. We'll stack them up. And if we're going to keep judging this group by what they do with the points, you know, how many points they collect in a season, and Sheldon Keefe with his regular season winning percentage, then yeah, then keep Dubas and keep this core and keep everybody for perpetuity. If this is soccer and this is being about top of the table, then amazing. Like, this group finishes great every single year. They just immediately
Drew Drew.
That's why he doesn't need to take the shot today, Chris. Like, we still in mourning for the.
I like Drew. He's a good coach.
Of course, everybody likes him. Yeah, like, yeah. No, I get it. I know what you're saying. And now they just seem to have flipped this and have gone, no, we're going completely in the opposite direction, and we're going with guys that fit more from a this postseason standpoint. And what you said there, like, that's the most salient part of the Sandin thing to me, because I've seen a lot of people go, wow, the Leafs actually got worse in the last 24 hours. They decided to turn two guys, Rasmus Sandin and Pierre Engvall, who look like what they do is really provide a lot of value to a team over a large data set, and replaced him with Luke Shen, who people go, he might sit up in the press box. It's like, Rasmus Sandin is at a point in his career where he did not want to sit. He's been pissed off about it. He held out at the very beginning of camp this year. There were rumors that he was going to potentially want out. This was not going to last very long. And having somebody around who's friends with guys on the team, who's really tight with Liljegren, who's really tight with, Engvall, like the other Swedish guys on the team, Nylander, whatever, having him be there and going, oh man, it should be me that's playing. Like, why am I not getting in here? I got to get an opportunity. I got a contract coming up. Like, they got rid of that piece and they brought in a first round pick. And now, like you said, a guy like Luke Shen comes in who right away is just going to go, whatever you need, I'm going to do it. And then provide them with something that they haven't had in a long time, which is a real thumper, like someone who can hurt you with a big hit, someone who's going to move you in front of the net, and an amazing character guy who's not afraid of this market and has rings. Like, I could not be more into that. Like, that part of it, yeah, to me is just massive.
Well, you have 2 years to go for it, this year and next year. Who knows what's going to happen with Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and the pieces of the team. I know it's scary to think about, but that's what you have. You need to go for it now. Is Rasmus Sandin a smaller, skilled defenseman, which I love, he's a great defenseman, is he that guy for you in a 5-6-hole, 7-hole during a long playoff run right now?
It's never going to happen.
No.
Not with an injury.
Exactly. And you still have guys that, you know, if there's an injury in your top four, you still have guys that can bump up there and play those minutes, right? They can fill in those minutes. Are they going to execute at the same level if Riley gets hurt? Mm-hmm. No. But you have guys that can fill it. Sandin, again, if you have a guy that, you know, he's young, he's getting into a stage where he needs to cash in on a contract, that's probably the number one thought it would be, I would assume, for a player. You bring in the guys that are going to fill out your team, and Kyle's done that are going to execute a plan to help you win this year or next year. And that's basically it. You have to be super short-sighted right now. Even the Edmonton Oilers, you could look at the Edmonton Oilers. You need these teams to go for it now, or these guys are going to be out the door and you won't have a chance to win for another 15 years.
Okay, so let's do the Oilers part, because you love your Oilers. You love McDavid.
Love McDavid. Yeah, I've been telling you since day one.
Yeah, you were you're one of the only guys that was saying it. You're like, you know who could be good? This McDavid.
No one knew it. Hey?
Yeah, no one knew. It was just you.
Chris Stradamus.
Yeah. So Oilers deadline so far, I said it. This Ekholm for Barry, I like it in terms of everybody says Tyson Barry is the best guy. I get that he was important to their room, and I know he can snap a puck around and do all the things you like on a power play, walk the line, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, you're better off if you bring in Ekholm for Barry, especially with what that team needed. But it just, that's not enough to me, man. And if you're going to trade my best buddy and I'm McDavid and our power play is the best thing about our team and that's what you tinkered with and you brought in Ekholm, I'm like, you better do something else. Otherwise, if we lose, fellas are going to be pissed in here.
Yeah, but they have guys that can fill Barry's spot, I believe, on the power play. And they also bring in a guy at home that I've played against him. He is a prick to play against. Yeah. I have no other word. He's hard to play against. He moves the puck well. He's lanky. I love the pickup of Ekholm. I think they need one more piece on the back end and then maybe a solid centerpiece up front. Again, Derek Ryan, I think, is pretty good, but they need another piece. I'd like him to move to the wing. They need another piece, I think, that can win draws and play hard. Evander Kane is a massive acquisition they're going to need within, but they need to go for it again. They need to go for it now. Mm-hmm. I know everyone's like, they got it. I'd give up a draft pick in 21st rounder in 26 and 27 right now just to get these years out of McDavid. This guy is on another planet, and he scored 50 goals after the game. It looked like his dog died.
Yeah.
And again, I understand you want to win. Everyone wants to win. You scored 50 goals in 60 games.
I know. It was funny because Principe had like the 50 goal puck. I think it was Principe showing it to him, and he was just like, yeah, it's whatever. He's just got so many points. He's such a prolific scorer that he's in full, I just don't care, I want to win mode. I think he knows. He's one of the greats ever, and the greats in this game win. And it's a little unfair because a lot of this, whatever, it's not like the cap has not only been around for 5 years now. Like other guys, other greats have won under the cap. Like that's how Sid did it. But I do wonder if this has got to be now the time where he really starting to feel that pressure to win and win in the place that he was drafted. Like, yeah, it's building up for him, dude. Like it's got to be on his shoulders a bit.
But besides Ovi, like Kane and Taze won two by that age.
Yeah.
Right. What Sid had won.
Yep.
A lot of these top younger players had won by 25. McKinnon's a bit, 28 now, 27?
Yeah.
But I don't think we
considered him an all-time great. I think he's like he's one of the league's best players right now. What I'm saying with McDavid is you absolutely do not want to be considered one of the game's greatest players who ever lived. Like, I've done this before.
He's a top five all time.
That's what I'm saying. You can't have that. You can't have no cups on your resume. This is a sport where it's funny because in the NBA, right, we always do the you're only as good as your best player, you're only as good as your best player. But there's a ton of like amazing guys who have been MVPs who just didn't win, right? Like Steve Nash never won. Charles Barkley was amazing. People forget because he was an analyst, but like go look at Charles Barkley highlights. He was incredible. The best player, the best player who never won a cup is Marcel Dion. Like the best guys win, or Lindros. It's one of those two. But, like, go through the history of the game. The best guys win. All the top dogs have won. And McDavid's got a long career, and he could do it, but I don't think he wants to have the Ovechkin career where he only gets the one, like, later in his career.
13 years in.
That's what I'm saying. He's 26 years old now. Like, he doesn't get one this year. He's going to start feeling it, and maybe it is somewhere else. And I can't think of the great where it was other than Ray Bourque, who couldn't get one done with his team in his prime.
And you can, McDavid could get 100 points till he's 40.
Yeah,
I'm sure
of course.
If he stays healthy and all that, but is he going to get 160 points?
Yeah.
Probably the next 3 years, I would assume, 3-4 years, get to 30. He's still going to be electric, dynamic. He's been touched by God. Pure and simple. He didn't have to train his whole life, and he could put on skates and still be a 60-point player in the NHL. That's how good he is. He's been touched by God. So he's got a couple more years, I think, at this pace. He might even be looking at his team and thinking, are we good enough to win? Yeah. I'm sure he's looking at that every day. You go against the Boston Bruins, I score two goals, I score my 50th goal, we lose still. No one else could chip in one goal, not one goal to help out. So you look at these teams that had great players, they also were surrounded by great depth.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Kane scores in 2013. He's got other guys below him. Sidney Crosby has other guys below him. He has other guys that were continuously scoring below him. He scored his 50th goal, I'm sure, Sidney Crosby. And on that night, I'm sure you could look back and three other guys scored too. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. I'm sure he looks at the rest of the makeup of his team and he's like, I don't know if we can win in the next 2 or 3 years unless Holland goes out and makes a couple more acquisitions. They bring it back Kane. He's healthy to go, and it gives him a chance to push him over the top. McDavid is that great. We've seen it last year that he could literally win a series on his own.
Yeah, of course.
There was no one else who played good hockey in that Edmonton series, I didn't think. I thought they were okay. The Oilers were okay. McDavid literally, I'd never seen it in my life, won a series on his own. Then they get to the next series. Was it the Flames?
Yeah.
And I think he just overpowered them with
skill.
Dude,
I can't remember. I tweeted this at the time. He felt like, again, to do my second basketball reference here, he felt like hockey Shaq. In that series, where I remember being a kid and watching Shaq and going, well, this just isn't fair. Like, there's just nothing you can do about this. And he was that in that Flames series where it was just, well, there's just nothing you can do. Like, he completely obliterated that team. Like, I'll never forget the way their blue line looked, just completely on their heels, frozen
wild.
Every time he got the puck, where they went, oh my God, we're screwed. There's nothing we can do.
Then you move to the Avs and you're going against a team that has depth. They have other guys that score, and that's where he needed his other players to come with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they rode his wave for 2 rounds, and they got to that round, and obviously the top players on Colorado balled out, but same with the bottom guys. Lekkonen and all these other guys showed up and played hockey while the depth on the Oilers didn't come. They didn't come to play. So these are the things that I'm sure he's looking at. I'm sure it pisses him off daily. They get into these situations, and no one else has stepped up yet. Kane, when he's in, to step up, and obviously Drysdale, he's another best player on the planet. But the rest of these guys, they need to pull up their socks, and when it comes time, they need to help him get over the top. And I think, again, they might need to make one or two more acquisitions in order to solidify a true chance, because, again, the West is super weak.
Yeah.
It's not good at all. So there is a chance there. They could get through. He goes superhuman again. Anything can happen, and he is superhuman. Again, I said, what, last 2 years ago, get this guy on a Calvin Klein billboard, downtown New York, right? Boom. This guy is that big of a superstar. He needs to be there. Right next to Justin Bieber. NHL still hasn't done it. Embarrassing. Come on, NHL, wake up.
Yeah.
But that's how big. But he's. You look at all the athletes of every sport. I don't know any other athlete in any other sport that are that much better than the second best player. And he's just that guy. So he could do these things, but they need to surround him with good players.
Yeah, he's amazing. You know what I like about him too, is he'll say stuff. He's got like a bit of a prickliness to him that I like. Like the care factor with him is very plainly obvious. And when something pisses him off, he's not afraid to step up and say it, which I think is great. And he should be doing more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm with you. I don't know how much though him on the billboard, and again, they're like, who is that?
It's gotta be that.
I know.
It's gotta be that way. NHL's gotta wake up.
I know. He's NHL. Listen, buddy, if we're going to do gripes with the NHL, I can put that one at like maybe 13 to 28th in terms of my biggest issues with the game right now. Okay. Here's my only thing with the Oilers. They went from the Koskinen contract and Mike Smith to the Jack Campbell contract, which is just a nightmare. And he kind of turned it around a little bit in January and he went, oh, maybe Jack is back. And then he just went right back in the pooper, and it's done, what a nightmare that contract is going to be for them. And then now you got to rely on Stuart Skinner. I was joking with one of my Edmonton buddies, being like, do you kind of wish that Mike Smith is just going to come back and do this? Like, what is the option here? I just don't see how they can shore that up. That's just going to be their Achilles heel.
Jack is purely runs on emotion.
I know, he is so up and down.
He is so up and down, and you could see it here in Toronto when he had a couple of good games, and the way he talked about himself in the media really showed in his play. And then the next time he's like, I suck, basically, yada, yada. And then he went down and he got hot there. And I think the team was very valuable here in Toronto at keeping him up, keeping him emotionally up. And in Edmonton, that doesn't seem to be the case. He's just on a full on roller coaster right now. Now, that being said, second year of a contract can always lighten the load. So maybe that helps him. He gets into his second year. He can find a rhythm. He can play good hockey. I'm not counting out the playoffs with him either.
Sure.
That could be a bit of a reinvigoration of, you know, confidence in him. I know as myself as a player, what we looked at my stats in February and January, obviously I should never have been allowed to play in the league.
You're the worst.
You know, you get going back into the playoffs and you start to turn it back on again. You start to focus and think about what you need to do, and that's where you can start playing. So maybe there is that piece to his game where it's a bit of a focus issue, which I had. Now you start to focus and you start to hone in. Okay, it's game time. Let's flip the switch. Some guys can't and some can. Maybe he's that guy. So you could rely possibly a little bit on that. And again, the second year of a contract where he, you know, he got paid a lot of money. He hadn't currently been paid this much money, and that might have been mounting on him. He's expected to save the franchise, bring him to the playoff, yada, yada.
Yeah.
He probably reads into a little bit of that too much. They just got to pull him aside, and I think the team has to help him mentally and emotionally ride those waves out a little bit better rather than riding the roller coaster.
Yeah, 846 save with 18 goals in his last four games, all Oilers losses. Here's the thing. You know this from having teammates like that. I know this from being just in the workspace. When you have that guy who's an emotional roller coaster that you can't count on, you know, you try to build them up so many times and eventually you just go like, man, do your job. Like, just do your bleeping job. Like, I'm tired of it.
That's old school though. Are you allowed to be old school?
Yeah, just no, but it hits you eventually where it's done. And you go, I've had enough. I can't keep having the same conversation with you. I can't keep pumping your tires. This is what I hate about when Jack Campbell did this in Toronto, it was the same thing. When you have guys who beat themselves like dogs in front of you and they just go like, oh, I'm the worst. I suck. I know I'm trash. And then, you know, you're like, oh, okay, you're great. You're good. You're a guy. I got to be fake. It's like that takes energy from people. And if you're trying to win a Stanley Cup and you're Connor McDavid of all people, you're already carrying this team to God knows what heights because of what you're doing on the ice, eventually you're going to say enough is enough. Like, I'm tired of this guy. I can't even stand to look at this guy when he steps in a room because I know I have to use some of my energy to tell him that he's good. And then he's still going to go do the same thing. So yeah. And other stinky thing with Jack Campbell, I'm not trying to make this just a complete crush job of the guy, but he's older than people think. It's like he didn't play for a long time, and it took him a while to get his bearings in the NHL with the Leafs, and it's like he's 31 years old, dude. He's 31, and goalies been aging a lot faster than they used to unless you're the elite of the elite, so I don't know. I'm not as confident as you are that he can turn this one around.
I'm confident he can do it if he can figure out his confidence. That's it. So playoffs, maybe it's a time. Playoffs is a second season. Like, it does reinvigorate you. I know at the end of some seasons, it's a long season. Like, oh, God, thank God this is over. Now it's time to get pumped up again.
Yeah.
And some guys play on another elevated level. I was one of those guys. During the season sometimes, I remember I'd be like, holy, someone slapped me. Wake me up, you know? And then you get to the playoffs, and it's like the adrenaline is pumping through your veins, and you almost can't tame it at times. So some guys do have that. Maybe he has that. I thought he was fine in the playoff series last year.
He was. He was fine.
So
both times.
I don't worry about him as much as if he can figure out, first off, second year in the contract, you can tell about a lot of guys. So maybe the pressure or the playoffs. Maybe there's something that can reinvigorate him and motivate him that lets him come to the rink every day believing in himself. I'm not counting him out just yet.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming on today, buddy. Even though, yeah.
You know, we didn't even talk about Kane. That's the first thing you said to talk about.
Okay, well, what do you want to say about him?
List, Kane, who cares about the Leafs? Number three, Jack Campbell.
No, okay. Let's do Kane then before you go. I got a little bit more time. I think it's actually a little risky, him going to New York. He's already got the three rings. I thought it would have been kind of cool if he finished his career in the same spot. I know he obviously was tearing it up, trying to get the attention of other teams saying, hey, I'm still great. And if he does go and win one with the Rangers, it puts him into like a completely different category than he had just stayed with the Blackhawks. But it's also a little riskier, don't you think, if he just ends up not working out there and, yeah, doesn't produce in the playoffs, they flame out?
No, it's risky. Right. He's a legend.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
I knew you'd say that. You're his friend.
I'm his friend. Yeah, I'm going to pretend. Actually, because I've said in 2007, the reason we could get into the bar to the restaurant and people would kick other people out of chairs is because of Kane and Taze, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
So I will defend Kane till the bitter end. And I actually, again, it's, you know, he's going to a situation that it's the big, next to Toronto, it's the biggest stage on earth to play hockey. He's from the States. He's from New York. I know he's Buffalo's wherever he's from, but whatever, Buffalo. He's from New York. It's a massive opportunity for him to win. It's a great team. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. He's still going to the Hall of Fame. But he is a guy that can push that team over the top. Similar to Luke Shen, Kane might not come in and rip it up in the regular season. He might not even rip it up in game 1, 2, 3, or 4. But I can guarantee you in game 6, if it goes to overtime against the New Jersey Devils and he has the puck on his stick, he is either scoring or setting up a goal. You can mark my words, save this right now. He could have no points leading up to game 6, and he will change the game when it matters the most. And that's what Patrick Kane is. He is the most clutch player of our generation, maybe of ever. And I don't worry about his overall production. I worry about what happens in an overtime or a game 5 in a big moment when they need a goal or a game 7. That's when he comes to shine, and that's when I think people should be watching for him.
Yep, that's all the right take. There's only two things for me to add on that. One is...
Hashtag love you, Kaner.
Well, yeah, but there's only two things. Actually, there's two things for me to add here. One is, you said save that clip, and we obviously will, because if he scores one of those big goals, we're going to use it for social promotion. But I'm slumping. I'm slouching in the studio right now. I'm not in a good pose for that video. It's not going to be good for me. It's going to be a bad visual. And two is, God, as somebody who had to set up a bunch of plans over this past weekend with people from out of town and getting dinners and tables and stuff like that, it's such a pain in the ass. And God, to have a friend like that who just actually has juice in the city and can just be like, don't worry about it. I know this person and I can get this table and we don't need to make a rezzo. You don't need to think about something. No wonder you love him. The older you get, the more you must appreciate that, where you just go, hey, thanks, man. Thank you so much.
This sounds crazy. I was watching the tribute thing that Sportsnet did. I was getting a little emotional.
Yeah.
Might have had a tear run down my eye.
Because of all those tables you thought you got?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I remember in 2007, I got to a bar. I pulled out my NHL card. They laughed at me. Mm-hmm. They're like, get to the back of the line. The next year, they were literally telling people to get out of the table to sit us down. I was like, thank you, Tanner.
God, do you know how much those dudes at that table hated your guts?
Hated. Wow, no. And then they would clap. They would be clapping.
Oh, for him, not for you. Yeah. You'd be sitting down.
No, for him, yeah.
You were the turtle in that entourage. You were.
Yeah, that's what I asked. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's me, you know?
Yeah, no, that is, oh, my God, I would have hated you with the passion of a thousand suns. Yeah. Get up from this table, from this bar that obviously I had to work my ass off to get into. If they're laughing at your NHL player card, it's a big night out, and all of a sudden, you guys come in and kick me out. That only happened to me once.
I'd be walking and pointing at everyone, you know, like I'm the guy they're looking at, you know.
I got kicked out of, two spots in Ottawa when I was there because of different Senators players. But the most notable one was I was having, like, one of the nights of my life in a certain bar, and Spezza came in with, two absolute just, yes, you know. Everybody knows, all right? And then it was, hey, you're getting out of this area. And my night was ruined. And I've never forgiven him for it since. He seems like the sweetest guy, but it hurt. It hurt me a lot to, have my night derailed by Jason Spezza and his Rockets. Anyway, thanks for doing this today, buddy. This was a good one.
It's been a pleasure. Hey, no even throwouts for Clever, eh? Unbelievable.
Okay. Well, sorry.
Unbelievable.
I can get sloppy. I'm excited today. I'm in a different kind of move. Yes. You're the founder of Clever, all right?
Yeah.
You're the founder of it. And when you were on the ice with those kids, what were you doing with it?
I was using Clever.
Yeah.
It streamlined the ability to clip, edit, and share, JD. Yeah. Not only that, it is changing the game. Yeah. Thank you for that.
No, I actually think it is awesome. And obviously it is taken off. And now that we're iPads everywhere, like, that is something that people should be checking out and using. If you're coaching kids, you're part of youth athletics, you should absolutely be using this and checking out the app. And again, Chris is... what do you always say? What's your Instagram handle?
Stigalicious after Fergal.
And then Clever app too. So follow that on Instagram if you're a listener of this. And then reach out to Chris anytime if you got questions about the app, because he's open to you.
Yeah. We're 11 minutes over, so I'm going to be getting a bill from Sportsnet.
You will be getting nothing. You will be getting absolutely nothing other than my thanks. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
You take care.
See you, man. There he goes, 2-time Stanley Cup champion and founder of the Clever app. And I'm being sincere. Now that he's gone, that app is incredible. Like, that is genuinely, like, a big part of... This guy won two cups, and that app is going to be huge for coaches. So, I say it every time, but check it out. We got to run. We'll be right back after this.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we don't have a ton of time, and there's a bunch of stuff I want to do, so let's go.
Well, one of the highlights, JD, about this Leafs trade deadline so far is that they've hung on to Matthew Knies.
Yeah.
And yesterday, Ricky Tiedemann made his spring training debut for the Blue Jays and pitched a scoreless inning and looked really good.
Yeah.
And was throwing heat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It got me thinking, who are you more excited about, Ricky Tiedemann or Matthew Knies?
Up until yesterday, it was Matthew Knies. Now it is full Ricky Tiedemann time.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Big Ricky guy, yeah.
You can't watch that, what he did and not go... Again, I've wanted to swear so many times today. I've been in the swear zone. This is tough. I got to just get YouTube only or something because this is just not... Today is not the day for me. People always say, how do you not swear? And I go, you know...
I have no idea.
Because I swear a lot, not on the radio. I'm a cuss guy. I got a potty mouth. So, yeah. Ricky Tiedemann. I think the whole city, anybody who paid even like a one-pitch attention to him yesterday was horned up. Holy.
Struck out Javi Baez.
Yeah. Before I saw Ricky Tiedemann throw those pitches, I was a lot of, they didn't do what trades because Ricky Tiedemann's untouchable. I was like, okay. And even we had Kyle McDaniel on here talking recently about how some of those guys turn out to be amazing. Some of those guys don't. It's about health and taking that next step. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. That was a sexy outing for spring. So yeah, that's the sexiest thing that's happened in a long time in this city. Yeah. So it's Ricky Tiedemann now. That was brilliant. I actually feel bad we're not talking about this more, and I will, obviously, in the coming weeks. But yeah, he's...
Ricky Tiedemann.
Yeah. Ricky Tiedemann is now at the top of the top when it comes to, like, things this city is horned up about.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's next?
So Juancho Hernan Gomez, also known as Bo Cruz from his movie In the Summer,
who
was released by the Raptors, replaced by Will Barton yesterday.
Who cares?
You're not in on Will Barton?
Buddy,
he was already shooting yesterday. It's like he was on Queen Street ready to go.
The worst part about this Leafs deadline to me is now it's making the Raptors even harder to watch because they are so painfully mediocre. They win another game yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's against this horrible Bulls team. They let them hang around all game. Yeah. Fred's one of a million. You know, Scotty turns it on a little bit late, but again, his season has been underwhelming. Yeah, it's just whatever.
It's good fourth quarter, but...
You know, like, this team is not it. And I don't know how anybody watching this could be trying to convince themselves that all of a sudden they're going to be. The Poeltl fit is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to tweet yesterday, how is it that Poeltl already feels like the guy who fits the most on this Raptors team? Like, he's the number one glue chemistry guy all of a sudden. It's like, when he's on the floor, things make more sense. Their pieces just don't fit together, and... I have a hard time believing that this is going to work out for them. And all I keep thinking is the OG thing where it's like, yeah, man, you guys turned down 3 first round picks for a guy that is scuffling in his first 4 games back who doesn't fit with this team. And like, just looks kind of upset. This Raptors team is just, again, they'll be fine. They'll be okay. They'll get probably into the playoffs because they'll beat one of these play-in teams. And then they'll get completely crushed by one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference because they are mediocre, and that's all they are. Okay, one more quick one. Keandre Miller got suspended 3 games, and he spat, and guess what? Here's my thought on it is, yeah, that's appropriate, even if it was an accident. If you accidentally spit on me, I'm going to punch you in the face, and I'm going to be way more upset than I think that Drew Doughty was. So, quickly, the kissing machine.
Yeah, the kissing machine. It's a silicone mold that of a person's lips that attaches to your phone, simulates actual kissing. They're debuting it in China. It's like attached to your phone, so you can kiss your phone.
Yeah. All I got to say
is, it's crazy.
What a breakthrough for Pete.
I knew this was coming, JD.
This is genuinely
it's
the biggest breakthrough.
It's 40
Buddy,
bucks.
Buddy, Pete, you're going to get some kissing.
Thank you.
Pete is kissing.
I knew this was coming. I have nothing to say. Leafs made great trades.
Hey, really, if there's any ladies out there who want to kiss Pete through the phone, I'll pay for the tech. Yeah. I'll get the equipment set up for Pete. Don't worry. It'll get done. Subscribe and review. Thanks to everybody for listening. We're going to talk to Bismack Biyombo, assuming that, there's nothing too crazy. And then, James Myrtle. But then, Friday for our trade deadline coverage. I got Paul Bissonnette in studio and Kevin Bieksa, the hardest guy to book of the business, in studio, too. He's going to grace us with his presence. So thanks for that. All right. We'll see you then.